Welcome to the Magnify Him Together podcast for teens. My name is Tim Young. We're here with the fourth part of our study on the practical Song of Solomon. I hope you've enjoyed it up to this point. You can see that this book is very powerful, and hopefully it will impact your life as you consider dating and courtship and marriage. In this part of the podcast, we're going to be starting from chapter 1, verse 12, and go to chapter 2 and verse 6. And what we're going to be seeing here is five things to expect in a good relationship. Here are the five things. Number one, a growing desire and ease in communication where there is listening and a movement from facts to opinions to feelings. We're going to see that in chapter 1, verses 12 through 14. Number two is a growing feeling of endearment. It's in chapter 1, verse 15 to chapter 2, verse 2. Number 3, we're going to see a sense of protection and a lack of pressure. It's in chapter 2, verse 3. The fourth thing we can expect in a good relationship, an open acknowledgement of the relationship. That's in chapter 2 and verse 4. And then the last one, number 5, is a growing passion. Chapter 2, verses 5 through 6. So let's start with the first thing that we can expect in a good relationship. That is a growing desire and ease in communication where there is listening and a movement from facts to opinions to feelings. So in chapter 1 and verse 12, we're suddenly on a different scene. It changes to a meal at a table where she says, "While the king sitteth at his table, my spikenard sendeth forth the smell thereof. A bundle of myrrh is my well-beloved unto me. He shall lie all night betwixt my breasts. My beloved is unto me as a cluster of campfire in the vineyards of Engedi." Let's just notice the use of smell here again, just like back in verse 3. In chapter 1, verse 3, his smell related to his name. Here they are discovering more and more about each other, and it is pleasant. There is nothing that smells fishy about this man. As their communication deepens, their respect and admiration for each other grows. Myrrh is a very expensive, potent, and aromatic resin that women would wear on a necklace, much as you'd wear a perfume today. How many times has an aroma triggered a memory in you? A scent is often associated with a person's identity. What she is saying here is that she dreams about him. The words, "all night between my breasts," is really in reference to the bundle of myrrh and not to him. You just look at some other versions there. You should marry your best friend, and it all starts with how you communicate with each other. Conversations can be broken up into three categories: facts, opinions, and emotions. There is an element of all three in all talk, yet you can tell how close two people are by how the talk moves from fact to opinion to emotions. Now, acquaintances usually restrict their conversation to facts. Then they begin to trust each other with their opinions. And finally, if they have become genuine friends, emotions begin to emerge. Here's an example of all three areas. First, a conversation that's limited to fact. "Tom and I had a tuna fish sandwich for lunch today." Number two, you move to opinion. "Tom and I talked at lunch today, and I don't think his new idea is going to fly." And thirdly, if you're getting really deep, you include emotion. "I got depressed after Tom and I had lunch today. I guess I'm discouraged that Tom is in with the boss right now and I'm not." You should see this natural progression in your relationship. Conversation that includes all three aspects is exciting and interesting. Communication is the biggest key aspect of a marriage. So pay close attention while dating of how well you communicate. Even in marriage, it takes effort to keep it up. The art of good communication is listening. Listening with your eyes, making a connection, asking questions, seeking first to understand and then be understood. If you consistently feel like you're not being listened to, that you're talking to a wall, that your opinions don't matter, then you need to take a good hard look at your dating relationship. If a person doesn't listen intently to you during dating, then they aren't likely to listen to you intently after you are married. As the relationship grows, so does the compliments and pet names they have for each other. Let's pick it up again in starting at verse 15 of chapter 1. Behold, thou art fair, my love. Behold, thou art fair. Thou hast dove's eyes. Behold, thou art fair, my beloved, yea, pleasant. Also, our bed is green. The beams of our house are cedar, and our rafters are fir. I am the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valleys. As the lily among thorns, so is my love among the daughters. During dating and marriage, your love for each other should start to overflow in your vocabulary. I call my wife honey or sweetie. If you do not feel your mutual endearment coming to this point, then reconsider your relationship. The opposite of a growing endearment is one that suffers from criticism or a belittling attitude. These types of attitudes can snowball in a marriage even to the point where it destroys all feelings of endearment that a couple might have felt for each other at one time. If the person you are dating dumps a load of criticism on you periodically or often ignores you in a group, then it is time to end that relationship. In marriage, criticism and abandonment are more likely to increase rather than decrease. There is some question as to who speaks in chapter 1, verse 17, but I think it is the female. It is to be expected that as a relationship grows, so will a female's dreams of the future. I imagine they are outside. Maybe they're having a picnic, and she begins to talk about their future house. This might scare a young man, but it is time like these that the communication of expectations and goals need to be shared. Before marriage, tell her your feelings. Let her know you cherish her and respect her and you want to spend more time with her to know that this is right. For a woman who is still not sure about a relationship, it will be harder. Guys, you should always give a woman an out. Gentlemen, I would also like you to notice how the woman responds in chapter 2 and verse 1. I am the rose of Sharon. You notice there's quite a change from chapter 1, verse 5, where she said, "Do not look upon me, for I am dark." You see, he had raised her self-esteem. She felt like $1 million around him. He kept lavishing praise, "As the lily among the thorns, so is my love among the daughters." Notice the last part there, "among the daughters." These are the daughters of Jerusalem, the virgins. You can go back to chapter 1, verse 3 there. You see, she is still a virgin, and he respects her for that, and he does nothing to jeopardize it. This brings us to our third point to expect in any good relationship, a sense of protection and a lack of pressure. She returns the compliment in chapter 2 and verse 3, and she says, "As the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons. I sat down under his shadow with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste." You see, the woman felt completely safe in Solomon's presence, that is, under his shade. You should never feel pressure to do anything that is wrong or immoral. Your partner should have a sensitivity to protect you from anything that would harm you emotionally or physically. He doesn't take you to R-rated movies filled with fornication and violence. He doesn't take you to parties with drinking and carousing. He doesn't take you places alone where you can get tempted. His fruit was sweet to my taste. You see, everything he said to her was always sweet, never bitter. You should never have to, at any time, endure verbal or physical abuse. You get out of that relationship right away. These kinds of problems are deep-rooted. The issues are not easily resolved, and it's not your role to resolve them within a relationship. In verse 4, she says, "He brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love." Now, the banqueting house was a place with many people, and Solomon was not ashamed to let the whole world know that he loved this woman. That's how any relationship should be. It's not a time for secrecy or hidden agendas. You should feel that nothing is being held back in other aspects of your partner's life. A banner was a flag used by the king's troops in war for identification. There was no mistaking his intent for her. A long, long time ago, way before I was baptized, I was dating a girl in high school. And it was pretty serious, a steady relationship. But I held back on sharing with her things about the Christadelphians. I didn't take her to meeting. I guess I was ashamed. Not being baptized, I had two faces at that time. She eventually confronted me about not sharing all aspects of my life with her, and she broke off the relationship. Wow, that hurt at the time, but she was right. I can't say I changed instantly over time. I came to appreciate it more and more. Breaking off a relationship because of these things is hard, but we shouldn't feel constrained to ignore it or just keep trying to change a person. Better to break it off and let God work with them. So up to this point, they had been in a very public place at the king's table, in the park, in the banqueting house. This is good, for a couple should seek places where they will not make provisions for the flesh. That's from Romans chapter 13, verse 14. I heard a guy once say that he took his date to a remote lookout where they got tempted. Well, of course they did. If they didn't, then there would be a problem. So we do our best to not make provision for the flesh in the places we decide to go on dates. If there is communication, endearment, protection, lack of pressure, openness in a relationship, then a natural phenomenon of dating is a growing physical desire for one another. It's God-given. That doesn't mean we are to abuse it. God meant it for marriage. Look what happens here. She says, "Stay me with flagons, comfort me with apples. I am sick of love. His left hand is under my head, and his right hand doth embrace me." She is saying, "I want this man." Flagons is literally raisin cakes in the Hebrew. Raisins were thought to be an aphrodisiac, something that increased sexual desire and therefore enhanced conception. The same is true for apples. Her feelings and emotions are totally overcome as she is sick or faint with love. And it's unmistakable the position that they are in. His left hand is under her head, and with his right hand, he's embracing her. It's very sensuous. And I want you to look at the very next verse carefully, and I want you to memorize it. I want it to become a very deep principle in your life. If you ever find yourself in this position, you should be saying, "I charge you, O daughters of Jerusalem, by the rose and by the hinds of the field, that you stir not up, nor awake my love till he please." What does that mean? Now, if you look closely at it, the word "my" is in italics. It's not in the original. And many modern versions translate "till he please" as "till it pleases." It is the neuter gender. So the New Living Translation has a good sense of what it means. It says, "Promise me, O women of Jerusalem, by the gazelles and wild deer, not to awaken love until the time is right." Oh, that's great. Not to awaken love until the time is right. Basically, this is a call for chastity and abstinence. That's why it's a charge to the daughters of Jerusalem, that is, the virgins. There are no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Sex before marriage is labeled as fornication, and it is sin. These feelings may be new, but they have to be recognized for what they are and controlled. I like to think this is Solomon saying, "The feelings are good, they're great, they're fantastic, but the time is not yet. Let's wait, so it will be better than anything we ever expected." God has provided a time and a place for the emotions and the desires in marriage, and God knows best. So in the next podcast, we're going to see their relationship continue to grow to the point of marriage, and how glad they will be not to have awakened love until it pleases.